there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
A warm up from the low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you. Joining me in segment number two, the one and only Andrew Cayley. He does great work over at Covers. He's going to be covering a little bit of everything for me as we take a look at what we've gotten out of the AL East thus far this season. He's a man north of the border out there in the country of Canada, so have to check in on the Blue Jays, what is slash is not working out well for them, and we'll take a look at a few games for Friday with them as well. In the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Friday as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter slash X timeline at @GNN_D1. Keep in mind, Lurzium, name me does not matter, so as per usual, please send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really didn't get in any Twitter slash X questions today, but we had a great day of baseball on Thursday. Unless if you're a fan of the Boston Red Sox, let's take a look back at it. Try to find some trends and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
The Atlanta Braves continue to be the top over team in all of baseball, and typically it's because they're doing a great job of putting bat to ball, but on this day it was the New York Metropolitans that were able to do so. 16-4, they absolutely wallop the Atlanta Braves. As for the New York Mets, they had an expected batting average, according to Baseball Savant, about 20 points higher than their actual batting average coming into this one, and positivity struck. Tyrone Taylor, he goes deep for a grand slam off of position player Luis Galorme, home run number one season, and DJ turning up Stewart. It has been a miserable season for him, but he has gotten home run number two of the campaign. That comes off of Alan Wynas, who, well, he was whining about this one. 7 runs, 6 of which were earned, given up in 5 innings, including that home run. Dylan Lee gives up 3 unearned runs from there, hurt by a pair of errors out there in the field. Tyler Matzik, he's had a rough go of it, gives up 2 runs in an inning, and then Galorme gives up that grand slam in his ending of work. And for the Atlanta Braves, they go 4 of 11 with Ben in scoring position, but even though they had that, they weren't able to really touch up Jose Quintana for the super hard hits. Quintana gives up 3 runs over the course of 5 1/3 innings, but kept the contact relatively light. 1 2/3 innings scoreless from there. Drew Smith and Tyler J in his MLB debut. He gives up 1 run over the course of 2 innings. Young 29-year-old. Yeah, 29 is typically pretty old for making your debut. Nice to see him be able to get out there. He had a relatively good go of it. This has been great for the Oakland A's. 8-2 on the run line in their last 10 games. Have won 4 out of their last 5. They take down the Texas Rangers 1-0. The Rangers muster just 1 in this one. J.P. Sears was tremendous. 6 1/3 innings scoreless. Lucas Ursage, Mason Miller, scoreless innings from there. Austin Adams, pair of outs out of the bullpen. And Seth Brown was the lone form of offense in this game. Goes deep off of John Gray in the second inning for his first home run season. And for 55 shades of John Gray, this was a fine start. Gives up that home run, 9 strikeouts in 5 innings. That's not bad. Jose Ureña, 2 scoreless innings. Jordan Lance, 2 scoreless innings. But for the Texas Rangers, absolutely nothing doing on offense as far this season, as they've actually played more unders than overs. 8 unders to 5 overs as far this season for the Texas Rangers. That's not the biggest under rate in baseball. That actually belongs to the New York Yankees, who have played 9 unders, 3 overs, and a push as far this season. Though things have been quite overwhelming for the Baltimore Orioles. 6 overs, 4 unders, and 2 pushes. And our DK and our great pick of the Orioles on the money line look to be in great peril early on. They get down 2-0 in this one. They were able to get a solo home run early on in the game as you had Colton Cowser go deep for his first home run season off of Garrett Woodlock, and that'd be Garrett Woodlock's lone mistake. He goes 5 innings, gives up that solo home run. From there, you get 2 scoreless sightings out of Justin Slayton, Yoli Rodriguez. He gives up an unearned run in 2/3 of an inning. There was supposed to be a double play turn, and that was costly as Greg Weisert comes into the game, and then he allows a home run to Anthony Santander, his third home run in the campaign. From there, you would have Connor Wong be able to be Mr. Right. He was able to go deep for home run number 1 of the campaign. That comes off of Danny Colomb after Grayson Rodriguez allowed 2 runs in the first inning, but that's all he'd allow in 5 2/3 innings. Jacob Webb from there brought out the bullpen scoreless. Colomb gives up that solo run in his 2/3 of an inning of work, but Yennier Cano gets it out of the bullpen. To the surprise of myself, Craig Kimbrell, a scoreless inning, and Mike Bauman gives up an unearned run in the 10th inning. And this was the second time in 2 days we saw a team lose by 5-plus runs in extra innings as Gunnar Henderson goes deep off of Isaiah Campbell, and so does Cowser. Cowser's second home run season, Henderson is third, as for Campbell, things just went completely awry in extras. Prior to that, yeah, Kenley Jansen get a pair of outs out of the bullpen, though. Things were hairy for him, but for Campbell, gives up 6 runs, 5 which were earned, including 2 bombs in the 10th inning. So DK Network right of pickets, and the Orioles, they get the sweep in this one as they are now 8-4 straight up. And the Philadelphia Phillies, it's been a little bit of a rough season for them at the plate, but they're able to get right against the Pittsburgh Pirates. They get this win by a count of 5-1. They've played 8 unders, so just 5 overs this far this season. As for Pittsburgh, not a lot doing against Ranger Suarez. Gives up just 2 hits in 6 scoreless innings. From there, Junior Marte of the Marte Parte. Scoreless inning, Nick Delson goes for 2 innings. He gives up a run. And for the Philadelphia Phillies, trio of home runs as Colin Olderman gives one up to Bryson Stott, his first home run season. Then had Mr. Jones give up home run number 4 of the season to Brandon Marsh. And then Alec Bohm was able to take him deep for his first home run of the season as Jared Jones gives up those 2 home runs, 6 1/3 innings. Gives up 3 runs, all of which were earned. And then from there, Holderman gives up that home run, 2 runs, 1 of which was earned. Give it up in 2/3 of an inning of work, but for Hunter Stranton, it's able to come in, hold down the 4 for a scoreless inning, and then you saw the Kansas City Royals just absolutely erupt on offense. This Astros team has been very much playing to the under this far this season. 8 unders, 5 overs, and a push, but they're just 4-10. Worst start we've seen from the Astros since they were in tank mode. 13-3. Royals absolutely royally just down the Houston Astros. For Hunter Brown, 2/3 of an inning, he gives up 9 runs, all of which were earned. You gotta send him down to the minors. I mean, man, he is in bad form. He gives up a home run in this one to Bobby Witt Jr., his third home run of the campaign. Then he would go deep off of Brian Abreu for his fourth home run of the campaign, as bullpen from there did their best. Abreu does give up 3 runs in an inning, and Rafael Montero, he gives up a run in an inning as well, but he had Taylor Scott come in for 2 scoreless innings, Seth Martinez, 2 1/3 innings scoreless, and then you had Gray Kessinger, the backup third baseman, come in for a scoreless inning. And for the Houston Astros, you did have home run number 3 of the season off the bat of Yennier Diaz. That goes deep off of Brady Singer, who did have the Astros singing the blues. He gives up just that solo run over the course of 5 innings. Nick Anderson does allow 2 runs in 2/3 of an inning, but Matt Sauer is able to fill 2 innings scoreless. Jordan Lyles, a scoreless inning. And Anel Zedepa, he was able to give you a scoreless inning as well. So we had a pretty wild day of baseball on Thursday. A very overwhelming day of baseball. 3 overs to 2 unders, with one game going very, very much under the total. And if you're looking overall for the season, 94 overs to 86 unders. I believe we've had like 9 or 10 pushes along the way, but overs are hitting at a 52.2% clip. Favorites on the money line hitting at just 57.3%. It has not been a great year if you've been taking money line favorites. And for favorites on the run line, they have covered just 37.2% of run lines as far this season. And if you're looking at home favorites on the run line, well, they're 42-88. That has been less than terrific, to say the least. So that's what we're seeing in baseball right now, and that's what we all got on Thursday. Now let's turn it forward to Friday, and let's take a look at the American League East with our good friend Andrew Cayley of Covers. We'll do that next, right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable!
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast, and it is great to be joined by this man, it's Andrew Cayley. He does absolutely tremendous work over at Covers, taking a look at this great game of baseball that we all know and love. Top of that, I know that he's doing a tremendous job getting set for the upcoming college football season. Great time of year for him, as I know that he is a big golf guy as well as the Masters, a tradition unlike any other. He is doing a tremendous job on that front, and you're always able to catch his bat flip and pick of the day. That is dedicated to the Toronto Blue Jays, and he always posts that up on his Twitter / X feed over at @covers_Cayley. That last name is spelled C-A-L-E-Y, and Andrew, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I'm always excited to talk some baseball betting with you, buddy.
Absolutely. Always glad to have you aboard, and first things first, how about if we do start with your favorite team of the Toronto Blue Jays, as it has been a little bit up and down for them, and I think it's fair to say, despite the fact that they've dealt with some injuries in the bullpen, Jordan Romano currently being out of the fold, Eric Swanson being out of the fold, pitching has not been bad, other than Bowden Francis really regressing from last year. But that said, it's been the offense that just has not been able to get online. What have you made out of this? Because I'm thinking over the last few years, maybe we did overrate some of these guys in the Blue Jays lineup, but even if we overrated them a little bit, I still feel like they should be performing better than what they have to this point.
I think they're performing exactly how anyone who has followed this team the last 2+3 seasons has expected, ever since, more specifically in the last two seasons when they made the conscious decision to move away from having power bats in the lineup, like, and getting rid of Lourdes Gurriel and Gabriel Mourinho for defense and Dalton Varsho, which looks like just a horrendous trade at this point. Trading away Teoscar Hernandez for Erik Swanson, a move that you maybe could have done something else, like maybe traded Alejandro Kirk if you had a surplus in catchers instead of trading your top catching prospect for a reliever at that point. The Jays made a conscious decision to improve their defense, and they're going to say starting pitching and defense is going to win, but they have to score some runs. And I'm sorry, but the lineup, once you get past Justin Turner in the lineup, it's just you're hoping somebody can produce for you. Is it going to be Alejandro Kirk? He has one of the worst hard hit rates in baseball right now. It's not going to be like Kevin Kiermaier, guys like Biggio. He's going to be streaky as always. You've got these young guys, Davis Schneider and Ernie Clement, who you don't know really what you're going to get from them. They have some chances for success, but then you see other teams kind of figure out how to pitch to them, and then they can go cold for a while. There's just a lot of what ifs with this team. Like you said, the guys who we have maybe overrated a little, the Vladdies, the George Springers. We won't say we've overrated Bo. He's been quite good still. Those top four guys need to be on for them to be successful, and they haven't been to this point of the season. I just saw a shift here, Greg, the other day. I personally was like, oh, geez, the Blue Jays are still like kind of favorites to make the playoffs. Like, you go to some markets, you see they're minus 120, minus 130 to still make the playoffs. In the last like 24 hours after that loss to the Mariners in extra innings, they are now minus 120 to not make the playoffs. And that's kind of what I'm seeing right now. This is a team that's giving Isaiah Kiner-Falefa too many at bats. Like, they're expecting a ton of at bats out of him, and they're expecting a ton of at bats out of guys like that. I love Danny Jansen, who just hit a grand slam for AAA Buffalo the other day, and the Jays need Danny Jansen. But like, the fact that I have to say that the Jays need Danny Jansen, like, that's a problem. That's roster construction, and that goes to the front office. That front office is digging in its heels and saying, hey, we've made the right decisions here, when it clearly looks like for the last season and a half, it has been the wrong decision. So the Jays do miss the playoffs at minus 120. I think we kind of missed the boat at the plus money. I might not bet it at minus 120 now, but I think that's the way they're trending.
I do agree that the Blue Jays need Danny Jansen because he went to high school in Appleton, Wisconsin, mere miles away from where I went to high school. The Appleton West Terriers, the alma mater of my mom, she went to high school there. So, yes, I do agree that they need Danny Jansen, but I'll sit in agreement that when we're talking about Danny Jansen, that's sort of a light, yeah, that's a little bit rough. As shown to me on the show, we do have Andrew Cayley, who does tremendous work over at Covers, and just what he make out of the division right now, because much like last season, in my opinion, 1 through 5, it was the toughest division in all baseball. Might not have had the best team in all baseball, but just in terms of overall balance, it was there. I feel like we might be talking about that once again this year. Granted, the central divisions of both the NL and the AL are relatively balanced as well, but I do think that the overall talent itself, a little bit higher in the AL East. And I just take a look 1 through 5, a team like the Red Sox, who I think will finish towards the bottom, I feel like they'd be a real contender out there in the AL Central. And I do think that that might be a little bit of the undoing of the Blue Jays as well.
I think you're right here. Yankees currently the favorites, about close to even money now, plus 105, plus 110.
That's way too far.
It's way too far, Greg, 100%. Like, I couldn't believe it when I was like, okay, let's do a little research before I pop on here. And oh my goodness, like, I can't believe that line is what it is now. Well, yeah, the Yankees are off to a really good start, 10-3. That pitching needs to get way, way, way better at this point. They need to hope that Carlos Rodon can kind of find that magic he had a couple of years ago. And obviously, they need a healthy Gerrit Cole. It's sounding like that elbow injury isn't as serious as once feared, but you never know in these situations. Like, maybe he starts ramping up again, and it kind of like he gets that weird feeling again. Without Gerrit Cole, I don't think this team can go far, make a long postseason run. But they're going to win a lot of baseball games right now because that lineup is really, really good. I think the acquisition of Juan Soto was the best move in all of baseball this offseason. And I think that's even more so than the Dodgers acquiring Shohei Ohtani. For this year specifically, obviously over the long term, I would say that's probably Ohtani. But for this year, I think Soto to the Yankees is the most impactful move that any team made for the 2024 season. It's really, really helped out that lineup. Obviously, he's already gunned out a guy at home, but it's good to have him hitting in front of Judge there. And they're just a really dangerous lineup at this point. But like I said, that pitching needs to get better. Right now, they rank 26th in expected FIP. Like, it's bad. The bullpen isn't great besides Clay Holmes, basically. And they're just going to have to outscore teams at this point. But we were talking about them being priced that high. That's, I think, an overreaction. And early on, I came on last time, we're like, oh, the Orioles are overpriced. Well, now they're down to plus 225, and I think they're underpriced now. They're just 7-4 on the season, but they already have a better run differential than the Yankees do by about 8 runs. They just called up Jackson Holliday. That lineup just got better. The defense got better. It looks like Grayson Rodriguez has made that next step in his development that they were kind of hoping he could do, and having him be like a solid number two behind Corbin Burns, which looks like another fantastic move. Like, they needed an ace. They got an ace. He looks outstanding right now for the Orioles, and he's going to give that team so much confidence going forward. Bullpen, once again, is going to be really solid for the Orioles. Like, now that this line has shifted, I love the Orioles at that price. So I think that's the best bet to win the division right now. The Rays, 5-1, 6-1. I think that's probably the best value bet at this point. I'm never going to count them out until they consistently show us that they're not going to play good baseball, but that just hasn't been the case with Kevin Cash there and that scouting department and that talent development department that they have there. They just keep churning out dudes. So little value in the Rays, but I think the bet right now is the Baltimore Orioles.
Yep, I'm right there with you, and we shall see how the Orioles do as we're doing this prior to the game against the Boston Red Sox on Thursday with old Grayson Rodriguez taking the mound. So we're going to be checking in there, and we are going to be seeing all those AL East teams be in action on Friday, as well as Andrew Cayley. He does great work over at Covers is joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And we do have some interesting games that are going to be going down as well. And just want to start it off right here. How do you take a look at this Blue Jays series against the Colorado Rockies? Because you've got Kevin Gausman on the mound. He is a mondo favorite. And I mean, if we see the Blue Jays not be able to pull out most of the games in this series, then I think it's very, very fair to be pounding the alarm and having everything go off in the back of our heads about this team. But I think that this should be a little bit of a get-right spot for the Blue Jays after a lot of strange extra-inning games in their series against the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, I think it is a get-right spot in the sense that they could win the baseball games, but I don't think it's a get-right spot in the sense that this team will be trending in the right direction in terms of being a contender to win a World Series. Gausman, he's still kind of, I guess, on a bit of a pitch count right now. They have to be very careful with him. His velocity has been down a bit since he's returned from that spring training injury, which isn't great because he likes to elevate fastballs to go along with that awesome splitter of his, and an elevated fastball with not the velocity that he used to have on it is a batting practice pitch, and he can hit pretty hard sometimes. So I think it's interesting in the sense that, like, what are we going to get out of Kevin Gausman? I'm not going to be laying these more than $2 price tag with the Blue Jays in this one. I might look at their team total. I'm obviously not a believer in Ryan Feltner. Maybe the over in this one, over 8, would be something interesting, even though the Rockies tend to not hit as well away from home. But I'm nervous as a Jays fan. It makes me nervous to see how Kevin Gausman will actually perform when he goes out there. So maybe over 8 is the play here.
Yep, I'm right there with you, because I do think that even though I've been talking about the Blue Jays struggling at the plate, they might be able to get 8 runs all by themselves. This Rockies team is terrible with their pitching. Ryan Feltner is sadly not their worst arm. He is actually far from their worst arm, and that should have you very concerned if you have any sort of hope whatsoever in the Colorado Rockies. And certainly, I think we're going to be seeing a few more, shall we say, competitive games out there as well. And I do take a look at this game, and it is one that it captures my eye just a little bit as well, as we are going to be having the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros doing battle, as the Astros are a team that has really struggled coming out of the gate. So I will say, it feels like almost every year we just expect the Astros to struggle a little bit. They're a -130 favorite, J.P. France on the mound. But after seeing J.P. France hang well north of a 4-5 ERA at home last season, I don't feel good about laying this sort of a number with the Houston Astros.
While the Astros stumble a bit out of the gates, this is a little more concerning because the pitching has just been so bad, and it's been everything. Besides, maybe I guess you can make the case for, obviously, Blanco has been the standout with that no-hitter and then a great follow-up performance as well. But overall, the Astros heading into this game against the Rangers, they rank dead last in the major leagues in expected fit. The bullpen has been extremely bad, and the Rangers are still doing what the Rangers do. They rank third in baseball in weighted runs created plus. That lineup looks like it's even might arguably be better than last year. And like you said, JP France, he's made two starts this year. He's given up 14 hits in just over 11 innings, a bunch of walks in there. Not a great strikeout rate, and I just think he could be feeding the Rangers some meatballs in this one. I know Dane Dunning is kind of as about as a meh pitcher as you can get. I expect him to go six innings and give up about three runs, but I think that'll be enough for this one. I kind of like the Rangers as underdogs here.
Yep, I'm right there with you. And Dane Dunning, he was able to get her Dunning much more on the road than he had in past years last year as well. And I want to just open it up to you. We do have a few games that are off the board because of the rainout that we saw in the Brewers versus Reds. We've got a few pitching changes out there. We've got a few TBDs just with all the pitching injuries that we've been seeing in general. But that said, anything else that you are taking a look at for Friday?
I think this matchup between Pablo Lopez and Tarik Skubal will be really, really exciting. Got a low total here of 7, and I think I might go over it. Lopez has been solid, but he hasn't been as dominant as kind of we'd expect. He's good to give up a couple of runs. The Twins bullpen, no Duran, obviously, and that has hurt them quite a bit. I think that number's just a little too low for this matchup, considering the way the Tigers have been hitting. Obviously, the Twins not doing much hitting right now, but I think that number's just a little too low, so I would lean over in the Twins and the Tigers. Another matchup I would look at here is obviously the Yankees and the Guardians. Carlos Carrasco, veteran guy, still going there. 10-3 Yankees versus the 9-3 Guardians. I do like the Yankees here in this spot. I think I'm going to look at the Yankees over their team total more specifically. The Guardians are 9-3 this season. Their schedule has included 4 games against the White Sox, a series against the A's, a struggling Twins team, and a struggling Mariners team. So I don't know how much we can take away from the Guardians at this point. So I think that the Yankees can kind of jump over old Mr. Carlos Carrasco.
Yeah, Carlos Carrasco is long in the tooth. This is not the guy that we saw like 5 to 6 years ago. And last year with the New York Mets, he was one of the worst pitchers in all baseball. So I do agree with you there. And I always love being able to get you aboard, Andrew. You do such great work over at Covers, and it's a busy time of year for you. You're doing a great job on the NBA front, getting prepared for some football, taking a look at golf, and so much more. So let the good people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Well, just follow me along at Twitter or X. It's Covers_Kaley. That's Kaley. Follow me this weekend. I'll be posting Masters picks all weekend. Obviously, we're underway now, but I'll have some mid-round picks, obviously, throughout the weekend. Baseball bets every single day as well. And hey, the NFL draft is coming up, and NFL draft betting is quietly becoming one of my more favorite betting events of the year. Lots of noise in NFL draft betting, but if you can drown it out, I think there's some value to be found in betting the NFL draft. So really looking forward to that at the end of the month.
Yep, and it's all about getting good information. With the NFL draft, you don't have to have watched these guys in college for like every single snap or anything like that. But if you're following the tea leaves, if you're following those beat reporters, you can make some good money if you're able to get that information right. And one of the best sources of information out there is our good friend Andrew Kaley, who does such great work over at Covers. So big thanks to him for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Friday as we touch them all.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey,
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball. This is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Andrew Cayley, who does amazing work over at Covers, taking a look at this great game of baseball. He's a very busy man, preparing for the upcoming NFL season, doing great work on golf, and so much more. So, big thanks, Andrew, for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Friday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter /X feed at @unit_81, and as per usual, we are going to be going in Las Vegas rotation order. This is where we go with the National League games first, then the American League games. Any interleague games, those are going to be at the bottom. That'll keep things all nice, neat, clean, and easy. So, without further ado, let's dive in on this first game of 9:51, 9:52 on the card. It is the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're facing off against the Philadelphia Phillies. Bailey Falter hopes to not live up to his name for the Pirates, and Christopher Sanchez is on the bump for the Phillies. Phillies between -160 to -165 favorite, seeing straight -156 out there as well. +136, +150. That number on the Pirates sign is the total. Over is -115. The under is -105. Willing to lay up to a -164 on this Phillies money line. If you're looking to lay a run half, you're getting between about +120. I'm seeing a straight +130 out there, and that +130 is just enough for me to pull the trigger on laying a run half. It has been a pretty miserable start for the season for the Philadelphia Phillies offense, not going to lie. They did hang up 5 runs on the board yesterday, but I do think that these guys are going to be busting out. If you take a look at more of the advanced numbers, they've been a little bit unlucky at the plate this far this season. Not going to go as far as to say that they're like the level of, say, the Miami Marlins, who have a batting average of 204 and expected 246 batting average, but should expect things to be ticking upward a little bit. Bryce Harper, he had that 3-home run game, but past that, he's hitting right around the Mendoza line of 200. Kyle Schwarber, he's not known for moving the line, but you expect a little bit more power out of him. It's been Brandon Marsh who's really been putting bat to ball. 4 home runs, sitting above a 3-iron. He's been rock solid, but the bottom of the fold, even though you know that you're not going to get anything out of Johan Rojas, Whit Merrifield, you do expect the guys 1-8 to be a little bit better. And for the Pirates, very hot start to the season for them. You do have to wonder if this young team is going to run out of gas a little bit and if there's going to be some inconsistency. Michael A. Taylor has had a career year thus far, giving you about a 375 on base. Have to love what you've seen out of Jhonny Cruz, Brian Reynolds. These guys have been able to supply multiple home runs. Reynolds has given you about a 350 on base. Plate approach overall against both righties and lefties has been solid. And I do take a look at both these bullpens, and both have been a little bit up and down to begin the season. For the Phillies, they just always start out a little bit slow. I have no idea why, but Sir Anthony Dominguez, Jose Alvarado, it's been a little bit rough for them. But for the Pirates, I'd like Aroldis Chapman, David Benar in the back half of the bullpen. Jose Hernandez has been rock solid as well, but with Bailey Falter, he actually used to pitch for the Philadelphia Phillies, and I think that is going to be to his disadvantage when you see guys that are pitching against their former team. It either goes really, really well or it goes really, really awful. There's not a lot of in-between, but with Falter, even though he doesn't give out a bunch of walks. Last season, his walks per 9 rate, it was right around about 2.2. He still had a 5.36 ERA, 5.25 fielding and pen because he just gives up rockets. Throughout his career, he's given up about 1.7 home runs per 9, and he's not too much of a swing and miss guy. Flip side, you've got a Philadelphia Phillies unit that I do think that they are going to be able to get a solid start out of Christopher Sanchez, who last year he gave you about 8.5 strikeouts to 2 walks per 9 innings. He's pretty much in advanced form, in my opinion, of Bailey Falter. He has given up 4 walks this far this season, but I do think that Sanchez could be able to go out there, land a relatively good start, and with the Pittsburgh Pirates on deal with injuries to the likes of Ryan Borucki and company, I do think that the Phillies find a way to be able to get the job done by multiple runs. I did set my total at an 8.7. I do like the overall upside of Christopher Sanchez, and it's a little bit cooler out there in Philadelphia, and the Phillies have had a little bit of a tough time hitting, and I do feel relatively solid about this Pirates bullpen, so I like the under and the Phillies laying a run half. 953, 954 on the betting board. The Atlanta Braves are on the road facing off against the Miami Marlins. Trevor Rogers goes for Miami. Max Fried is on the bump for Atlanta. Atlanta is between a -176 or a -195 favorite, between +154 to a +165 is your number on Miami. 8.5 is the total, over and under both at -110. I'm going to be taking a look at the over. I did set my total at an 8.7. And for the Braves, if you're looking to lay a run and a half with them, you're going to be laying about -110 with that juice. I am more than willing to do so. I was willing to go up to a -120. Miami is one of the more pitcher-friendly ballparks out there in baseball, but Trevor Rogers just has not been able to take advantage. He was very limited last season. He was only able to get out there for about 4 or 5 starts. Has come back this season, and it's not like he's been great. First start, he goes out there at home. He gives up 4 walks in 5 innings. He did not look sharp. And you go back to the entirety of his 2022 campaign, he had a 4.94 ERA at home. He was giving up north of a 1.4 home runs per 9 inning rate. He was able to get some solid swings and misses, but all in all, Trevor Rogers just seems to be missing location a lot. He just has never been able to develop after he had that nice 2021 season. And for Max Fried, you have to have your concerns with him. He has given up 11 runs in 5 innings thus far this season, with 10 of them being earned. Not the start that you were looking for. He's never been like an overpowering swing and miss guy, but has always been able to do a nice job of being able to hit his spots, has relatively solid command, and thus far this season, it's been a little bit rough for him after he was limited to just 14 starts a season ago as well. You have have to wonder how much lingering issues are taking hold there. And you've got a Atlanta Braves team that they're just simply ripping the cover off the ball. Even yesterday, they had a solid offensive performance. They lose that game 16-4, though, because the pitching was just not up to snuff, to say the least. As you just take a look at this lineup, each out of your top seven hitters in terms of overall at-bats are all giving you at least a 333 on base, all but one of them, and Austin Riley giving you at least a 353 on base percentage. You've got each of your top five hitters in terms of overall at bats that have been able to supply multiple home runs. Marcelo Ozuna is up to five. Matt Olson has been able to give you three bombs. Ozzy Albies hitting above 300. And at Ron Acuña Jr., he's only hitting at 233. And as he had to get his first home run this season, you know that he is going to be able to get online. Jarrett Kelenic has been rock solid. And for the Miami Marlins, I alluded to it just a minute ago, this Marlins team overall for the season is hitting at 204. If you go to Baseball Savant, their expected batting average is at 246. We should see a little bit of positivity for this lineup. I don't know if we're going to see it for the pitching, but Jake Berger, three home runs. He's hitting about a 260. That's been rocks up. Luis Arias is only hitting at 250. You got to expect that's going to be going upward a little bit. Josh Bell, Jazz Chisholm, Avicio Garcia, Jesus Sanchez, all hitting below the Mendoza line of 200. Not saying that these guys are going to be amazing, but you should get a little bit more moving forward. The issue that you've got for the Miami Marlins is the bullpen. You lose from last year a guy like a Steven Okert. AJ Puck was very reliable in the bullpen. He's now a starter, so you're looking at Andrew Nardi, Oscar Brazoben, trying to be some of your top guys. I like George Soriano and the length that he's going to be able to lend, but for Trevor Rogers, can he give you those 5 to 6 solid innings to be able to get there? I don't think so, and I do think that the Atlanta Braves, after they got completely shellacked yesterday, they bounced back with a nice convincing win here. I did set my total at an 8.7, so Atlanta had the over, and the Braves laying a run and a half on the run line. 9.55, 9.56 on the betting board. The Arizona Diamondbacks play us to the St. Louis Cardinals. Steven Matz goes for the Cardinals. Brandon Pfaadt is on the bump for Arizona. Arizona between a -115 to a -125 favorite, +105 to +110 is your number on St. Louis. Total on scheme is 9. Over is -115. The under is -105. Here at a 9, I'm going to be looking at the over. Steven Matz has actually been really, really good since the All-Star break in 2023. Pre-All-Star break, he had a 4.61 ERA. Post-All-Star break, he was able to lower that to a 2.75. And I think that he actually lends a relatively good start here. The bigger reason why I'm going to be fading the St. Louis Cardinals here is that bullpen. I just cannot get over how inconsistent I think it's going to be this season. Ryan Helsley was relatively solid with a All-Star appearance 2 seasons ago, was banged up much of last season, but when you're trying to rely upon guys like Andre Pallante, Ryan Tepera, Giovanni Gallegos, Ryan Fernandez, that does not put you in a relatively good spot. And I do think that for Steven Matz, after he has come out and has lended 2 very good starts thus far this season, 10 in the third innings, +74 ERA across them, I do think that we're going to see a little bit of regression here. Not necessarily the world's greatest swing and miss guy. And for Brandon Pfaadt, you could tell that he was a different pitcher after the All-Star break last season. Prior to the All-Star break, he was a big giant fade. For Pfaadt, he had north of a 7 ERA his first time around when he got called up to the big league level. That dropped to a sub-375 that second time around. And thus far this season, has given up 6 runs in 10 and 2/3 innings. But 5 of those runs came against the Atlanta Braves. Very, very understandable there. And he's been able to do a nice job getting 13 strikeouts to just 1 walk. The command is relatively solid. The swing and miss stuff is coming along for the ride as well. But he does have to go up against the St. Louis Cardinals team that I have a feeling that they're going to erupt. It has been a rough start to the season for them. They're hitting at 219 as a collective. If you look at more of the expected numbers for them, they're expecting batting average. They are hovering more in that neighborhood of about a 231, which I still recognize is not great, but at the same time, they've been a little bit unlucky at the plate. Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, they've had pretty miserable seasons as far, with both of these guys giving you a sub-300 on base and a combined 1 home run. You've got to feel like that's going to be going northward. Brendan Donovan has done a solid job being able to move the line, but he does have some rather unsavory home and road splits. Ivan Herrera, Wilson Contreras at the catcher spot have a combined 5 home runs, and these have really been your top guys this far. Nolan Gorman has been able to give you a little bit of boom as well, but you're banking on some of these young guys like Jordan Walker, Victor Scott to be able to pick it up, and I do think that they're going to be able to do so. But at the same time, you've got an Arizona Diamondbacks team as averaging more than 6 runs per game at home. This offense looks very, very good, as Ketel Marte of the Marte Parte along with Lourdes Gurriel both give you about a 355 on base. Both are to be able to give you 3 home runs. Christian Walker has been able to go out and has had 3 home runs thus far this season. Corbin Carroll is off to a relatively pedestrian start as well. He's only been able to supply one bomb, .333 on base, but you know that that's going to pick up, and you know that he's going to be able to steal a bunch of bags when he does get on base. And for the Diamondbacks, it's not like they've necessarily got the world's greatest bullpen either. Luis Frias, Miguel Castro, these guys are not so great. I actually like Bryce Jarvis as a little bit of a long guy. Ryan Thompson does a solid job, and Scott McGough was one of the more unlucky relievers in all baseball, but I think that the St. Louis Cardinals, after it's been a rough start to the season for them, they've got so many veterans that are going to be able to pick it up, and I do think that the Arizona Diamondbacks, they continue to click with regards to their offense. So here at a 9, I'm going to be taking a look at the over, but I also do like the Diamondbacks in this spot. I just feel like their hitting is in a little bit of better form, and I do think that this is going to be a little bit more of an offensive game. Semi-total at 9.3. I like the over, and I like the Diamondbacks on the money line. 9.57, 9.58 on the betting board. The San Diego Padres hit the road to face off against the LA Dodgers, as it's the King, Michael King, going for the Padres, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto is on the bump for the Dodgers. The Dodgers are between -185 to -198 favorites. Meanwhile, between +164 to +175 is that number on San Diego. 8 is the total. Over is -110 to -120. The under is anywhere between even and -110. And I'm going to be taking a look at this total over. I did set my total at an 8.4. Michael King has been nothing short of tremendous since getting a starting opportunity in like August, early September with the New York Yankees, if you look at his last 8 true starts. So this takes out the bullpen appearance that he had in Seoul, South Korea against the LA Dodgers. That was a very unique circumstance. I feel like that would be unfair to have that included here, but he's got an ERA that is hovering right around about a 2.2. Has done a nice job of not issuing a lot of walks. His strikeout numbers are still supreme, much like they were out of the bullpen. So I like what I'm seeing there. And for Yamamoto, ever since he had that rough start in South Korea, he's won a combined 10 innings in his last 2 starts against the Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals, giving up 5 hits, no runs. Now the question becomes, is he more of that guy that we saw out in Seoul or the guy that we've seen in the last 2 starts? I tend to lean somewhere in between. And for the LA Dodgers, this is one of the better bullpens that you're going to find in the big leagues. They did lose a few guys like Victor Gonzalez and company in the offseason, but I like what Evan Phillips is able to do in the closer spot. Ryan Brazier has been really good since coming over from Boston. I like Danny Hudson as well. Now, Joe Kelly is always a roll of the dice. I don't feel necessarily the world's greatest about Connor Brogdon as well, but the Dodgers, they've been able to do a nice job in terms of rehabilitating careers out in that bullpen. Meanwhile, for the San Diego Padres, you want to be avoiding Johnny Brito if at all possible, but they pick up Wandy Peralta and Yadier Los Santos to be able to pick it up with regards to that bullpen. And I do like the way that the Padres are approaching things at the plate right now. You've got a pair of guys in Manny Machado along with Fernando Tatis Jr., who, even though you've got Juan Soto out of the fold, this is a fearsome deal with right now. Tatis really holding up his end of the bargain much more than Machado. Machado just a .308 on base with 2 home runs, 4 bombs, with about a .333 on base for Tatis. So he's been making a few errors out there in the field. That's been negative to the team, but you need to get a little bit more out of Xander Bogaerts. He's only about a .240 right now, but Luis Capusano has been produced at the plate. Jurickson Profar has been solid. I like Jackson Merrill as a young guy, about a .388 on base out of him. It's a functional San Diego Padres lineup, and for the LA Dodgers, as we know, this is a death star when it comes to being able to put bat to ball. You've got Teoscar Hernandez, Mookie Betts, who both have been able to supply between 4 and 5 home runs apiece. Shohei Ohtani, after he was dealing with the stuff off the field with his interpreter, felt like he needed a few days to get over it, and boy, is he over it, hitting above 303 home runs. He has been producing in this lineup. Freddie Freeman hasn't necessarily been providing a lot of just overall pop, but he's finding a way to move the line. He, Will Smith, both giving you north of a 4 on base, and Will Smith is right now leading the league in batting average at a .412. Certainly that'll be falling downward, but you need to get a little bit more from the bottom of the fold. Kike Hernandez, James Outman, Gavin Lux, Chris Taylor, these are guys all hitting below the Mendoza line of 200, and these are two of the top 3 teams from a season ago in terms of walks drawn on a per at-bat basis as well. So I do think that the batter's eye certainly going to be there. I do think that Michael King actually gives a little bit of a better start here than Yamamoto. I do think that the Dodgers, they are overall the better team, but getting this big of a plus price, I think that we've gotten a little bit too far. I was willing to take a +166 or higher with the Padres, so I'm going to be looking at the money line of San Diego. I do think that both of these bullpens might have a tough time with both of these lethal offenses as well. So I did set my total at 8.4. I like the over, and I do like the Padres on the money line. 959, 960 on the betting board. It's a Detroit Detroit Tigers and the playoffs of the Minnesota Twins. Pablo Lopez is on the bump for the Twins, and Drake Skubal is on the bump for Detroit, and Detroit does find themselves as in between minus 122 to minus 130 favorites, and you've got between plus 105 to plus 112. That number on Minnesota 7 is the total. The under is minus 120, and the over is even. When this game was pulled off the board, we were seeing a few 6.5s out there. I don't know if we're going to be so fortunate this time around, but I'm still going to be taking a look at the over regardless. Didn't really make too many adjustments to my handicap. I'm still going to be riding with the Detroit Tigers, much like I was doing when this was the matchup we were supposed to get yesterday. I did set my line at a minus 128 in this spot, so wouldn't want to go anything more than minus 127. But I look at Tarik Skubal and what he's been able to do at home throughout his career. He's got an ERA that's more than a point lower at home rather than on the road throughout. And with Tarik Skubal and what he's been able to do over the last, we're going to call it about 12 or so months since he came off the injured list, when he's been at home, he's been absolutely dominant. He did have that rough start against Oakland a few days ago, but past that, guy's been an absolute wizard at home since returning off the injured list. His ERA is hovering right in the neighborhood of about 2, so he has been tremendous on that front. He's able to give you about 10 strikeouts per 9 innings, and for Pablo Lopez, he's been one of the more unlucky pitchers in all baseball over the last 12 plus months. Ever since he joined the Minnesota Twins, he's been able to do a nice job of being able to really ramp up those strikeouts. He's hovering right around about 10 punchouts per 9 innings, and it's not like he gives out a ton of walks or anything like that as well. His command is relatively solid. He's been giving out ever since joining the Minnesota Twins in that pocket about 2.1 walks per 9 innings, but he's got a fielding independent of a 3.32 compared to a 3.61 ERA ever since he has come over to Minnesota. He's got a 1-1 record right now, despite the fact that he's given up just 4 earned runs over the course of 12 and 2/3 innings, and I do think that we should see some positivity coming for both of these lineups, for the Minnesota Twins and the Detroit Tigers, who look at their baseball savant numbers and their expected batting average is higher than their current batting average, especially that of the Tigers. Theirs is off by about 25 or so points. Spencer Torkelson has had a relatively rough start to the season, and right now Riley Green has been one of your best producers on offense, hitting just a 205, but has been able to give the team 3 home runs thus far this season. Mark Canna, yes, he can give you a pair of home runs. He has a 372 on base, but hitting just a 206, and you just take a look at this Detroit Tigers team as of right now, and among guys that have north of 26 at-bats right now, you've got nobody that is sitting really above a 222 other than Gio Urshela. And Gio Urshela should be playing every single day for this team. Meanwhile, for the Minnesota Twins, Edouard Julien was able to bust out of his funk a little bit the last few days. In the back half of the series against the Dodgers, was able to provide a trio of homers. And Carlos Correa looking much more like the Carlos Correa of old. He and Alex Kirilloff have both been able to give you a home run apiece, both of these guys hitting above a 300. The problem with this is these are the only two guys on the roster with more than 3 at-bats that are hitting above a 237. Byron Buxton about a 293 on base has been a little bit less than savory for him. Ryan Jeffers has not been able to move the line. Carlos Santana, who I mentioned before, and Julianne, Willie Castro, Matt Wallner, Max Kepler, they're all hitting below the Mid-Dos line of a 200. And for the Twins, they are dealing with Yoan Duran, their very good closer currently being out of the fold. These bullpens, they get a little bit of rest. I like Steven Okert, Brock Stewart, Jorge Alcala. These are good guys for the Minnesota Twins. And even though the Detroit Tigers, they don't necessarily have that one super-duper lockdown closer or anything like that, you got a lot of good arms in general. Shelby Miller, who actually has 3 wins as far this season, that's a strange oddity. Probably more wins than he would ever get as a starter, because he has really done a nice job in the second act of his career. But Jason Foley, Andrew Chafin, Will Vest, guys like this, they do a rock solid job in the bullpen. I do think that both of these offenses are going to struggle, but would love to see this get back to the 6.5 like we were seeing towards the time that this game was pulled off the board yesterday, because if you get a 6.5, at that point, you get both teams to put 3 runs up on the board and you're guaranteed a win or so. That is something that I'm going to be taking a look at to the over. I did set my total at 7.3. Would be willing to take a 7 over, but hopefully we can get that 6.5 like we were seeing before. And with that said, with the Tigers willing to lay up to a minus 127 on this money line, 961, 962 on the betting board, the New York Yankees, they're on the road, they're facing off against the Cleveland Guardians. Carlos Cookie Carrasco is on the bump for the Guardians. Clark Schmidt is on the bump for the Yankees, and the Yankees are between minus 140 to minus 142 favorites. Any between plus 130 to plus 132, seeing straight plus 120, that's your number on Cleveland. 9 is the total. Under is minus 120 to a minus 125. The over is between even and minus 105. Seeing some 8.5s out there with the over and the under anywhere between even money to minus 120, and At an 8.5, I would rather have that over rather than a 9-under, and this is just purely a fate of Carlos Cookie Carrasco. Last season, when he was with the New York Metropolitans, his ERA was well north of a 6. He does not look to be a starting caliber pitcher at this time in his career. He has just completely fallen off. And his first few starts hasn't been as bad. He has gotten 9 strikeouts in 8 innings, but the command is just way down. He has given up 4 walks in that time span as well. And his first few starts were against the Oakland A's and the Minnesota Twins. And in that start against the Twins, yeah, he gave up 1 run in 3 innings, but he went 3 innings in that start as well. And then for Clark Schmidt, he's just a steady Eddie guy. In his last 29 starts, he has allowed 3 earned runs or fewer in pretty much all but 3 of them. And for Clark Schmidt, I mean, that's what you can expect out of him. He'll probably give you 5 to 6 innings. He'll probably give up 2 to 3 runs. He's nothing amazing. He's nothing terrible. He'll give up a little bit north of 2.5 walks per 9 innings. He gets about 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. If you're looking for about as average of a pitcher as it gets, he is that, and that's more than enough for the New York Yankees, as the Yankees have been getting some less than quality starts out of the likes of Marcus Stroman and Nestor Cortes, so that's a little bit of an issue. And I take a look at this spot, and I do think that for the New York Yankees, you are going to be able to get some good offense going against Carlos Cookie Carrasco. Now, when it gets to the bullpen of the Cleveland Guardians, you've got a lot of lockdown guys. Emmanuel Clase, absolutely amazing in the closer spot. I like the fact that they pick up Peter Strzelecki. Scott Barlow has been a little bit rough for this team, and he might honestly be the weak link in this bullpen, but Eli Morgan, Hunter Gaddis, these guys have been nice. And for the New York Yankees, been a little bit of a rough start to the season for the bullpen as well. Clay Holmes can be a bit of a roll of the dice for you, and they did lose a few guys in the offseason, but that said, Ian Hamilton was absolutely amazing this past season in 2023. Caleb Ferguson is someone I like in this bullpen as well. And for the New York Yankees, they just flat out have more power in the offense. Giancarlo Stanton has become an all or nothing guy, but 4 home runs this far this season from Anthony Volpe along with Juan Soto are both giving you north of 400 on base. Aaron Judge is strangely the guy that's struggling for this bunch. He's right now hitting .178 with 2 home runs. You just expect so much more out of him, but when you've had Oswaldo Cabrera out there, as he's been a little bit in and out of the fold, deal with injury, he has been rock solid as well. And then for the Cleveland Guardians, the power's a little bit better than it was last season. You got the Naylor brothers and Josh and Bo Naylor, but this is still going to be a team that at the end of the year, I anticipate them being in the bottom 5 with regards to home runs on a per game and a per at bat basis. But Stephen Kwan giving you a well north of a 300 average. He's doing a nice job moving the line. Andre Jimenez, after a little bit of a down season last year, he's found a way to be able to get on base. You've also been able to have Brian Rocchio do a nice job of being able to rise up. He's been able to give the team right around about a .245 average. He's been able to provide a little bit of something in this offense as well. So it's an interesting spot to be in. I do think that Clark Schmidt is going to do what he always does. Gives up right around about 3 runs in 6 innings, and I think that that's going to be enough for the Yankees to get the job done. Semi total at 80.7. Looking at the over, and with the Yankees, 1-1 -142 on the money line. Wouldn't want to go any further, but still willing to ride with the Yankees and the over. 963, 964 on the betting board. It is the LA Angels on the road facing off against the Boston Red Sox. Right now, the betting board list to be determined for the Red Sox starter, but right now a lot of places are thinking it's going to be Tanner Houck. Meanwhile, Reed Detmers goes for the Angels, and Circa is the only book in Las Vegas with a number up on this game. The total is 8.5. The over is -120. The under is even. With Boston, they're a -120 favorite. +102 is your number on Los Angeles, and if we get that number with these two pitchers, I'd be willing to lay with the Red Sox. Set them as a -130 favorite now. Soul-crushing losses to end their series against the Baltimore Orioles. That was very much less than savory, but I do think that Tanner Houck going to be able to have a little bit more success this season than he did a season ago. For Tanner Houck, he has been just a, in general, unlucky pitcher over the last few seasons. It's not like he does anything amazing or anything like that. This is not someone that's going to blow you away with strikeouts. He, for his career, more around about 8 to 8.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. The command, it's not bad. It's not great. Last season, in terms of walks per 9, he was right around about 3.5. He does need to work on that a little bit. But as I said, last year, he had a 5.01 ERA compared to a 4.43 fielding independent. And it was really a case where Fenway was a little bit of a house of horrors for him, because he is going to give up a little bit more hard contact. And Boston can be very, very unforgiving to pitchers like that, with Tanner Houck 5.80 home ERA compared to a 4.18 ERA on the road. And for Reed Detmers, he's done a nice job of being able to make himself more of a swing and miss guy. Last season, he was able to provide in that pocket about 10.2 strikeouts per 9 innings. And if you take a look at what he's been able to do this season, he has been incredible. He has gotten in his 11 innings thus far, 19 strikeouts. He's been doing an okay job with regards to command. Last year, he had about 3.5 walks per 9 innings. He's right around that neighborhood thus far this season. So, I mean, he's going to give up some walks, but he's going to trade that in for strikeouts. I just have all sorts of questions with both of these bullpens. So, for the LA Angels, you've got Manmore, Carlos Aceves in the back half of that bullpen, but Adam Simber looks washed at this point. Hunter Strickland is definitely washed at this point. Jose Soriano, who is being used as a long guy, he has now had to become a starter. And for the Boston Red Sox, they too have a bullpen that's in relatively rough shape because last 2 days, they've had to use up a ton of relievers. You've got Chris Martin, who should be fresh in this game. He had a sub-250 ERA a season ago, though. He had to use up Kenley Jansen yesterday. You saw a pair of guys just completely poop the bed for this team, as Greg Weisert was not terrific yesterday, along with Isaiah Campbell, but should be able to have Justin Slayton, Prairie Apps hold down the fort, despite the fact that he did have to pitch in the game yesterday as well. Josh Winkowski, he's relatively solid. And for the Red Sox, well, the lineup itself, it's starting to gel, it feels like, a little bit. Jaron Duren has been really good at being a move line, about a 375 on base. Tyler O'Neill has been amazing. 6 home runs, he's hitting above a 300, but you need Rafael Devers to give you a little bit more. He's right now hitting just a .185, and I know that he is right now dealing with a little bit of an injury, so he might not even be able to go in this game. But we got Tristan Casas, who is starting to show flashes of what he had last season, where he had north of a 4 on base post all-star break. But the big question is, these guys like Cedine, Rafaela, Emmanuel Valdez, Pablo Reyes, when he gets opportunities, are these guys going to be able to hit? These are young guys. They're currently hitting below the Mendoza line of 200, and for the LA Angels, they're about as top-heavy as it gets. Logan Ohapi has been amazing. Logan Ohapi is right now giving you about a 353 average. He's done a nice job hitting in clutch spots, and prior to his injury last year, it looked like he had a lot of upside. And then Taylor Ward has a trio of home runs, a 333 on base. Mike Trout, 6 bombs, hitting north of a 300 with a 400 base, and then you got Brandon Drury, Nate Chenault, Anthony Rendon, Aaron Hicks, all these guys hitting a .175 or lower, and Anthony Rendon has the moniker of biggest waste of money in all of baseball. So that's not tremendous there. I do think that Tanner Houck going to be able to go out there, lend a relatively solid start. And I do think that Freddie Demers might have a little bit of an issue with this Boston Red Sox lineup and both of these bullpens. I have zero faith in whatsoever. So did sell my total at a 9.3 here at the 8.5, looking at the over with the Red Sox. What do they have to a -137 on that money line? 965, 966 on the betting board. The Houston Astros playoffs to the Walker Texas Rangers. Dane Dunning looks at Gitter Dunning, and J.P. France is on the bump for the Astros. 9.5 is the total. Under is -120. The over is even. I'm seeing a straight -115 out there. Over is -105 on the over, with the under being -115. And with Houston, they're between -125 to -135 favorites. Between +114 to +120 is that number on Texas. And with Texas, need a little bit closer to about a +127 on this number. We're seeing about -125 out there. And now that we've dipped down to about a -125, I'm going to be willing to buy in on the Astros. For the Astros, they got completely lambasted yesterday by the Kansas City Royals. But because they got completely lambasted, that actually saves more of your trustworthy bullpen pieces like Josh Hader, like also a Ryan Presley. And we have noticed the Astros just get off to a lot of rough starts in general. I do think that they're going to be able to pick it up a little bit more. Alex Bregman having an Alex Bregman-like start with 0 home runs and a 305 on base to begin the season. But that said, Yordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve, these guys have been very good at being a move line, find a way on base. For Altuve, north of a 400 on base. He's played 3 home runs. Yordan Alvarez, he's up to 4 bombs. Kyle Tucker's been a little bit up and down, but he's up to a pair of home runs as well. The big key for the team is the bottom of the fold. Jake Meyers, along with Jose Abreu, hitting below the Mendoza line of 200. You haven't gotten a lot of John Singleton either, and for Texas, they got shut out yesterday by the Oakland A's, and for that matter, they really had a tough time with the Oakland A's. They have now scored 3 runs or fewer in 3 out of their last 5 games. You know that these guys are going to be able to pick it up, though. They showed it last season, and Adolis Garcia has already shown 4 bombs thus far this season. You've been able to get a lot of other guys just be able to move line for this team. You don't have anyone else with multiple home runs other than Josh Young, who's been a little bit in and out of the fold, but these guys like Jared Walsh, Corey Seager, Marcus Simeon, they're hitting above a .285. They're all providing relatively good on bases. They've been able to do a nice job drawing walks, even though the power hasn't been there to begin the season. They're doing a solid job on that front, though. You did notice the last season, the Rangers' power, it did dip quite significantly when they were away from home. I do like the revamped bullpen of this Rangers team as well. You're bringing Kirby Yates, you're bringing David Robertson. That helps out, especially when you got Jose Leclerc, who's solid, but a little bit of a roll of the dice in this bullpen. Brock Burke is someone I think is going to be pretty rock solid as well. And I think the big key for J.P. France is just performing a little bit better at home, as J.P. France last season had a sub-250 ERA on the road. It was north of 4 at home, and he was one of the more lucky pitchers out there in the big leagues. His fielding independent was way more than a point higher than his ERA. Only got about 6 at-bat strikeouts per 9 innings. From the early returns thus far this season for J.P. France, he seems to have helped out with regards to his swing and miss numbers just a little bit. His command is a little bit better in 11 and a third innings thus far this season, just 3 walks. So I do like his overall approach. He was just a rookie last season, so I do think that he's going to be better this season. Meanwhile, for Dane Dunning, he's always had a little bit of an issue pitching on the road. That's aside from last season, but in his tenure with the Texas Rangers, does have an ERA more than a point higher when he's away from home rather than at home. And right now, he's just not in great form. 7 walks, given up in 13 innings. He has given up 3 home runs in his first 2 starts, including in his first start against the Houston Astros. Gave up 3 runs in 6 2/3 innings, a home run, 3 walks. Did not look to be in great form. And I do think that this is a nice bust out spot for both of these offenses. I did set my total at a 9.1. So it is a circumstance where, seeing the 9.5, I think we've gotten a little bit too far, just because I do think that while both of these offenses are going to be able to get to Dunning and France, I do think that the bullpen from there holds down the fort. And I do think that the Houston Astros, they've got a little bit more in the bullpen to be able to get it done. So did set the Astros at a -127. I'm going to be willing to lay up to a -125 on that money line. And taking a look at the 9.5 over, if this were to flip to 9, by the way, I'd rather have a 9 over rather than a 9.5 under. But here are the 9.5 looking at the under. 967, 968 on the main board. The Tampa Bay Rays playoffs, the San Francisco Giants. Keaton Wynn is on the bump for the Giants, and it is all to be determined for the Tampa Bay Rays, so this game is off the board. Many places are thinking it's going to be Tyler Alexander who gets a start for the Rays. It's just a question of, do the Rays throw an opener for him or not? We've seen that quite a bit for him, and we even saw that while he was with the Detroit Tigers as well, so my handicap is not going to be changing too much if we see some sort of like a bullpen piece as an opener for Tyler Alexander. But if it is indeed Alexander slash an opener against the Giants, I'm setting the Rays as a -118 favorite with a total of 8.2, so it is less looking at the over, 8.5 or higher, the under, and want to lay up to a -117 on the Rays, +119 or higher. I'd be taking a look at the San Francisco Giants. Keaton Wynn is just a rock solid, steady pitcher. He's given up in his MLB career less than 2.5 walks per 9 innings. He's getting about 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's nothing great. He's nothing terrible. Meanwhile, for Mr. Alexander, it's going to be interesting to see how he does moving forward if they do decide to utilize an opener for him. Because if you look at Alexander throughout his career, he's been utilized quite a bit as both a starter and a reliever. His ERA does drop by about 0.7 points when he is coming out of the bullpen, but his home runs per 9 rate is actually a little bit higher when he's coming out of the bullpen as well. So that's something to be mindful of. Alexander has always been a relatively good command pitcher in terms of his walks per 9 rate. That's 2 for his career, but that said, has never really been that guy that with a put-away pitch about 7 strikeouts per 9 innings. Going up against a Giants lineup that they tried to revamp it in the offseason, you're bringing Jorge Soler, who had north of 30 home runs a season ago. Matt Chapman, who is a little bit better with the glove rather than at the plate, but he was an upgrade from a team that was 30th out of 30 teams in terms of run creation in the second half of the season last year. But you do retain a lot of those guys like Therio Estrada, Mike Yastrzemski, that are solid. They move the line. They're able to give you about 15 to 20 home runs. And for the Giants, it's not a bad bullpen, but it's not necessarily an amazing bullpen. They do lose quite a few pieces from a season ago, but closer and Camilo Duval, along with Roger Square, Taylor, and Tyler Rogers, these guys were relatively solid. I do like Ryan Walker out there as well, but the Tampa Bay Rays, they're just a factory for really good bullpen pitching. You've got Colin Pouchet, Pete Fairbanks, who are some of your main guys, but they've turned Chris Davinsky into a relatively solid reliever. Jason Adam has been tremendous for the team as well, and for the Tampa Bay Rays, it's just all about getting that offense back online. Jerry Calabreo, who they picked up from Seattle in the offseason, is currently hitting a .350. That's absolutely amazing. Not too much of a power guy, but does a solid job moving the line. And Isaac Paredes, he's becoming a perennial 25-plus home run hitter. He's already got 4 bombs thus far this season, but the guys that really need to pick it up, Yandy Diaz, Randy Arozarena. Both of these guys got amazed at a good clip last season. Both of these guys are threats to be able to give you 20-plus home runs in any given season. For Arozarena, probably even more than that, but they just simply have not produced at the plate thus far this season. And for the San Francisco Giants, I do think that they're going to have a little bit of a tough time getting to the bullpen along with Alexander in this spot. I do think that for the Tampa Bay Rays, they are going to be able to find a way to be able to get the job done. And both of these offenses just not in the world's greatest form. So, it or less looking at the over, 8.5 or higher, going to be diving in on the under. And with the Rays willing to lay up to a -117, with them +118 or higher, going to be taking a look at that plus number with the Giants, 969. 9970 on the betting board. The Milwaukee Brewers at the road face off against the Baltimore Orioles. It is Freddy Peralta on the bump for Milwaukee. Right now, the betting board reads to be determined for the Baltimore Orioles. It's looking like it's going to be Tyler Wells who pitches well. So this is a game that's presently off the board. But if you do get Wells versus Peralta, I set the Brewers at a -102 favorite despite being on the road. And I totaled away an 8 or less. I'm looking at the over 8.5 or higher, the under. Keep in mind, this is one of those Apple TV games. And typically, there's been rumors that these balls get a little bit juicy in the Apple TV games. I still have my question marks there, but with Freddy Peralta, he's just flat out the better pitcher. If you do get it, indeed, this matchup against Tyler Wells, who was one of the most lucky pitchers in the big leagues last season. For Tyler Wells, I mean, he had a 3.64 ERA, and his home runs per nine rate was about 1.8. The command wasn't bad, but it wasn't amazing. He got about 2.7, 2.8 walks per nine innings, was able to get up to about nine strikeouts per nine innings. But Freddy Peralta, he's able to give you a lot of swing and miss. This far this season, 15 punchouts in 11 and two-thirds innings. He's had his struggles throughout his career in the month of April, but that said, the command looks much better this year than it has in the past. Just two walks in his first two starts. And for the Brewers, the young guys are right now hitting. I don't know how sustainable it is, but Jackson Chirinos, Sal Frelick, Bryce Terang are all hitting at least a 282 with at least a 370 on base for Frelick and Terang. You've been able to have Christian Yelich look like MVP Christian Yelich. 5 home runs, 400 on base. Willy Adames has been struggling a little bit at the plate, but even with William Contreras stepping up, that has been massive. And you've got a Baltimore Orioles team that they've been coming up with timely hitting, to say the least, as far this season. Hitting just a 235 as a collective going into yesterday, but you've got Anthony Santander, who's been able to supply a trio of homers, along with Gunnar Henderson, Jordan Westberg, Cedric Mullins. These are guys that need to pick it up a little bit more in terms of the overall average, but I do think that they're going to be able to do so as well. You've got such a deep Orioles team without calling Jackson Holliday up to the big league level that you're able to get good platooning splits as well. There are guys like Ryan O'Hearn, Colton Cowser, and company that they're just matchups that are favorable and unfavorable for them. And the big fear that you do have with the Orioles is that they did have to use up quite a few bullpen pieces yesterday. They did not have a game get called due to rain, unlike the Milwaukee Brewers. So the Brewers, they do have a more fresh bullpen. Meanwhile, you had to use up guys like Jacob Webb, Yennier Cano yesterday, Danny Colomba as well, who I like all three of those guys. You've been able to get some relatively solid production as well when it comes to Mike Bauman out of the bullpen. Now, Craig Kimbrell's always a roll of the dice, but he's been used in back-to-back days, so that's something that the Orioles will probably not be looking to. But for the Brewers, this is at minimum a top-five bullpen at this point. Elvis Biggio, Joe Piams, these are really good setup men. Abner Uribe, he's able to throw 100-plus. He's got really nasty stuff, and I like what they've done with J.B. Bukakis as well. I think that he's got a lot of upside coming out of this bullpen. So it is a case where I set the Brewers at a slim favorite. I'm willing to lay pretty much -101 slash take them at even money or better at a +102 or greater. So an underdog price, I'm looking at the Orioles. And then 8 or less, looking at the over 8.5 or higher, the under. 971, 972 on the betting board. The Colorado Rockies at the road face off against the Toronto Blue Jays. Kevin Gausman is on the bump for the Jays. Ryan Feltner goes for Colorado. 8 is the total, over and under, both of -110 with the Jays. They're between -240 to -260, anywhere between +$3 and +216. That number on Colorado to lay the run line of the Jays. Most places have this between -110 to a -115, and I'm willing to go up to a -125. For Kevin Gausman, the command has been relatively solid over the last few seasons, but you can tell that his velocity, after he was dealing with a little bit of dead arm during spring training, it has been down just a touch. But the good news is you get to go up against the Colorado Rockies team that now they're in full Rockies mode. They're going from elevation to elevation. That causes the pitches to look differently, home to road, and it causes them to not be able to get their bearings underneath them. Now, I will say, for the Colorado Rockies, Ryan McMahon has actually been really good for the team. He's hitting a .383. He has been able to put in that work, and Michael Toglia has been able to give you a trio of home runs, but I said, you got a lot of guys that are scuffling for the team. Brendan Rodgers, Chris Bryant, Eliarias Montero, you're able to throw in there Nolan Jones, all these guys hitting a .175 or lower. And for the Rockies, they just always have much better home numbers than road numbers at the plate. Last season, they hit about 40 points lower when they were away from home rather than at home. And once again this season, they're hitting a .218 away from home, .275 when they're at home. Elevation will do that to you. And for the Toronto Blue Jays, this is a little bit of an overrated lineup for my money, but that said, I do think that these guys are going to pick it up a little bit. They're hitting a .212 as a collective, and again, Do I think that maybe we've put this team in a little bit too high of regard? Yes, but I think that they're better than what they've shown through thus far this season. If you look at their expected batting average, it's more around a 240, which again, so frustrating, but not as bad as this. For the Toronto Blue Jays, you've had Justin Turner down for what? Be tremendous. He's given you north of a four on base, just one home run, but he's been able to do a nice job on that front. But that said, Isaiah Kinnear, Falefa, Kevon Biggio, these are the only other two guys on the roster other than Turner with at least 30 at-bats that's currently inning above a 205. You've gotten a little bit out of Ernie Clement, but he's only got 29 at-bats to his credit as well. When David Schneider's been out there, he's been relatively solid as well. But for Vlad Guerrero Jr., three home runs, but just a 200 average to show for it. Alejandro Kirk, Dalton Varsho, George Springer, they need to pick it up, and this is a perfect spot to be able to do so. Ryan Feltner has actually looked halfway decent in his first two starts, 14 punch-outs in 11 innings, and just a great story in general after he got hit by that line drive comebacker last season, and he's been able to return to the field. But you take a look at Ryan Feltner for his career, 5.87 ERA, does not do the world's greatest job in terms of command throughout his career. He's had north of four walks for 9 innings, a relatively solid swing and miss guy, but he's also backed up by a bullpen that Victor Vodnik might be their best setup man. That's not a place where you want to be. Justin Lawrence has been an issue. Tyler Kinley is honestly not too bad in that bullpen as well, but you take a look at the Blue Jays, and even with them having to deal with a pair of injuries, they currently have the full Jordan Romano along with Eric Swanson. You still have quite a few trustworthy guys. Sid Mays had a sub-3 ERA last season. It's a bit of a roll of the dice when you got Genesis Cabrera out there, but I like what Chad Green is showing as well. So, circumstance where I'm going to be looking at the run line of the Blue Jays. I'm willing to go to a minus 125. It did set my total at an 8.7, as I do think that the Blue Jays are going to do some damage on this Rockies team. So, I do like the run line of the Jays and the over. 973-974 is the DK Network right up pick. We've got the Kansas City Royals, and at the road, they're facing off against the New York Metropolitans. Luis Severino is on the bump for the Mets, and Michael Wacha, who looks to not be the dying Pac-Man voice of Michael Wacha 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 Wacha. He is going to be going for the Royals, and total on this game, you're finding it at an 8 over and under, anywhere between minus 105 to a minus 115. Meanwhile, with the Royals, you're going to be getting them at a modest plus price, anywhere between plus 105 to a plus 112. Meanwhile, between minus 115 to a minus 125 is that number on the Mets. Now, I don't think that both of these teams are going to duplicate what they did yesterday. The Royals put 13 runs up on the board in their game against the Astros, the Mets 16 against the Atlanta Braves, but I think both of these teams are finding it. My write-up pick is going to be on the over with the Mets. Prior to the game yesterday, they had a 216 actual batting average. Their expected batting average was more around a 239, and I do think that for the Mets, they are going to be able to lock in a little bit more. You still have a guy, Pete Alonso, who's one of the best overall power bats they're going to find in all of baseball. You have to feel like Jeff McNeil and guys like this have gotten off to a rough start to the season. Francisco Lindor especially, they're going to be able to pick it up, as even with the game that we saw yesterday, you've got Lindor, you've got Jeff McNeil, you've also got Pete Alonso, all hitting a 220 or lower. DJ Turner up Seward has been an issue, but Brett Paddy, he's been able to give you about a 350 on base. Starling Marte has had himself a relatively nice season as well. And Francisco Alvarez doing a good job of moving the line. And for the Kansas City Royals, this is a top 10 team in the league in terms of runs per game, and you've got great just power on the scene. Bobby Witt Jr., four bombs with a 400 plus on base. Miguel Garcia is not necessarily hit for average, but he's hit for power with a trio of bombs. You've been able to get good production of MJ Melendez, three home runs, north of a four on base. The seam is finding a way to be able to move the line. You've got a veteran in Salvador Perez that's able to give you good power. He's giving you north of a 300 average and on base as well. And for the Royals, this is a stinky bullpen. Matt Sauer is right now one of your better bullpen pieces. Will Smith, Chris Stratton, Nick Anderson, all untrustworthy. Anel Zarpa, not someone that you want to be trusting in. James MacArthur is awful. And for the New York Mets, you get back Edwin Diaz, but can you get a ninth inning lead to be able to utilize him, as you need to go through the likes of Brooks Raley, Drew Smith, Cole Sulzer to be able to get there? And I mean, honestly, Brooks Raley is not too bad, but the Mets were 22nd in the league in terms of bullpen ERA a season ago. The Royals were 29th, and there's no way fans are buts about it. Michael Wacha, better starter in the spot since the beginning of the 2022 season. A 26-6 record, ERA hovering right around about 322, but batting average on balls in play in that time, 259, fielding independent about 0.7 points higher than his ERA. Regression should be coming in for Luis Severino since the beginning of the 2023 season. Just a fatal Rooney. north of 1.8 home runs surrendered per 9 innings, about a 6.60 ERA, fielding independent north of a 5.7. He just is not in good form right now. He's giving you a few swings and misses, but the command is just all over the place. I do think that for Severino, he gets lit up, and I do think that Michael Walker starts to see some regression, but even with that regression, I do think that the Royals find a way to be able to get the job done. I'm going to be looking at the plus price here as I set the Royals as a favorite personally in my DK Network Ride-A pick. That is going to be on the total over. Yeah, even at an 8.5, I'd be taking a look at the total over. 975, 976 on the betting board. The Chicago White Sox play the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, we are on to Cincinnati, and they're on to Andrew Abbott getting the start for them. Chris Flexen is on the bump for the White Sox. Southsiders are an underdog of anywhere between plus 143 to a plus 152, anywhere between minus 165 to minus 175. Is that number on Cincinnati? And your total on scheme, it is 9. The over is minus 120, and the under is even. And in terms of the run line in the spot, you're going to be finding it anywhere between about minus 108 to minus 110 on the Cincinnati Reds. I personally am going to be willing to take the Chicago White Sox getting a run and a half as long as I am getting this at a minus 108 or better. And right now I'm finding a few places that are offering a minus 108. I would need more like about a plus 155 in this spot to be able to take a shot there, as I do like what Andrew Abbott is able to bring to the table overall as a pitcher, but he did have his struggles on the road last season. He had an ERA that was sub 3.5 when he was at home. That was a little bit north of 4 on the road, and he does still have his command issues. He has given up about 3.3 walks per 9 innings. So I do think that it does help the fact that the Reds did have that rain out yesterday. So the bullpen, it is going to be a little bit more fresh, which means that you're going to be able to get those good guys like Fernando Cruz, Alexis Diaz, all ready to go in this one. And for the Chicago White Sox, well, it's a bullpen that has been very, very rough, to say the least, as right now you're relying upon guys like Brian Shaw and company to be able to hold down the fort. I would like to see a little bit more use in general of someone like Dominique Leon, who I actually don't think is absolutely terrible. Tanner Banks is a relatively good long guy as well, but they might need to convert him into being a starter. And for Chris Flexen, well, he's been flexing on his ERA recently. I do think that there might be a little bit of upside down pitching in Chicago, and I mean, he was one of the biggest fades in all baseball last season, Mr. Flexen was, but part of that was the fact that he pitched in Colorado. When you pitch in Colorado, that's just going to absolutely bump up your ERA, and with Seattle last season, he had a 7.71 ERA, but that said, if you take a look at what he had done the previous two seasons with the Seattle Mariners, he was honestly a halfway presentable pitcher, a pitch-to-contact guy that isn't going to give you much more than 7 strikeouts per 9 innings, but when he's in a normal circumstance and he's getting starts every 5 days, he's honestly not the world's worst pitcher. I'm not saying he's great, but he's not the world's worst pitcher. And with the Cincinnati Reds, you do have a few guys that are struggling at the top. Christian Encarnacion Strand, Jameer Candelario, Will Benson. All these guys are hitting a 215 or lower, and all are providing a sub 280 on base. Jonathan India, not necessarily the world's greatest average, but a 392 on base. It's been Spencer Sear, Ellie De La Cruz, both giving you 3 home runs apiece, both hitting above 300. That has been absolutely carrying this offense. Meanwhile, for the Chicago White Sox, now they're dealing with an injury to Luis Robert. They've had Eloy Jimenez be in and out of the fold, but you've had a few nice surprises for the team. Yoan Moncada, he's finding a way to move the line at about a 280 in terms of his average, about a 364 on base. Gavin Sheets has been able to provide a pair of bombs hitting north of a 300. I don't know how sustainable it is, and they're going to need him to be sustainable, because the likes of Nicky Lopez, Tom Fletcher, Paul DeYoung, these are guys that are providing nothing. And Martin Maldonado, about as useful as a poopy flavored lollipop up there at the dish. But I do feel like we went a little bit too far on the Cincinnati Reds team. They have been very hit or miss, to say the least, and their pitching just has not been tremendous. They have given up 6-plus runs in 4 of their last 5 games. Now, the Chicago White Sox has been very fraudulent with regards to their pitching as well, but I do think that they're going to be able to do a relatively okay job, and I do think that Chris Flexen is going to be able to give you an okay start. I'm not saying it's amazing, and it's probably going to be blown by the schlubs out there in the bullpen, but if you're able to get a run and a half at a minus 108 or better with the White Sox, I'm going to be willing to nibble there, and did somebody tell a 9.3? You've got absolutely no faith whatsoever in this White Sox bullpen, so I do like the 9 over, and I do like getting a run and a half with the White Sox at a minus 108 or better. 977, 978 on the betting board. The Chicago Cubs, they're facing off against the Seattle Mariners. Bryce Miller goes for Seattle. Jordan Wicks is on the bump for the Cubs. Cubs are a slight underdog between plus 105 to plus 112. Meanwhile, between minus 118 to minus 125, that number on Seattle. 8 is the total. Under is between minus 125 to minus 105. The over is anywhere between minus 115 to a plus 105. with the Mariners. Set them at a minus 126, so here up to a minus 125, I'm going to be willing to lay with Bryce Miller. He was just much more comfortable when he was at home rather than away from home last season. His ERA was a full point and a half better when he was in Seattle rather than away from home, which does make sense because for Seattle, this is one of the more pitcher-friendly ballparks that you're going to find in all of baseball. Bryce Miller, throughout his career, has only given up about 2 walks per 9 innings, but he can get barreled up quite a bit, north of 1.3 home runs surrendered per 9 innings. And for young Jordan Wicks, his small sample size at the big league level thus far has been relatively solid. 2 starts as far this season, 4 earned runs given up in 8 2/3 innings. He gave up 7 runs in total, but the schlubs out there in the field did him absolutely no favors whatsoever to start out the season, so I'm not going to put that on him. He's been getting a lot more swings and misses this season rather than a year ago when he got called up for 7 starts last season, was getting to 6.2 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's averaging 13.5 punch-outs per 9 innings as far this season, and he's looking a little bit more like he did at the minor league level. Last year at the minors, 10 punch-outs to 3 walks per 9 innings, would give up a little bit of hard contact, but all in all, was relatively solid, and he's backed up by a bullpen that it's neither great nor terrible. I feel like this bullpen is a little bit better than what it's shown to be thus far this season. They've been dealing with a few ailments, so they've had to look to someone like a Luke Little to be able to give them some good innings. Julia Merriweather is someone that I do like in the bullpen, and he's currently out of the fold for the team, so they have to look a little bit more to Yancy Almonte, but Ed Barrelsley, Hector Neris, these guys are pretty good, and for the Seattle Mariners, they've been dealing with an injury to Matt Brash themselves, but all in all, this is a team that just does a nice job of being able to produce bullpen pieces like a factory. They're almost like a West Coast version of the Tampa Bay Rays. Guys like Gabe Spire, Taylor Cicado, Trent Thornton are guys that they've plucked out of mediocrity and made into good relievers. They pick up Ryan Stanek in the offseason, and I do think that this Seattle team is going to be able to get a little bit more online. It has been a miserable start at the plate for them this far this season. 207 batting average and a 278 collective on base. Mitch Haniger is like the only guy that is consistently moving the line for this team, about a 350 on base. He is the only guy other than Ty France that has at least a 350 on base. I should actually say not just a 350 on base, only guy with at least a 303 on base with north of 25 at bats. That's not great to say the least. Julio Rodriguez has been a disappointment to begin the season. Jorge Polanco's right now yielding absolutely no value whatsoever. The catchers, Mitch Garver, Cal Raleigh, both hitting below the nose line with not a lot of power. And then for the Chicago Cubs, this offense has been relatively solid this year. Not great, not terrible, but out of love what Cody Bellinger brings to the table. He had that hot just middle part of the season last year, but it's currently hitting a .191. He's been able to provide a pair of home runs, and we got 5 different guys that have multiple home runs for this team. Bellinger, Dansby Swanson, Michael Busch, T.A. Suzuki, Christopher Morel, and everyone not named Bellinger hitting at least a .268, and everyone not named Bellinger at least a .340 on base. Ian App has not gotten yard this season, but he's been able to move the line, give you about a .420 on base. So the Cubs lineup, it is a little bit ahead of that of the Seattle Mariners, but I do think that this is a nice spot to be able to bust out, and I do have my question marks with regards to consistency and length with Jordan Wicks as well, and that leads into a bullpen that has been up and down, to say the least, for the Cubs this far this season. So I'm going to be taking a look at the Mariners on the money line, especially with the Cubs having to head out west. And with regards to total, I did set my total at an 8.3, so I also do like the over. And we'll wrap things up with 979, 980 on the betting board. The Washington Nationals hit the road face-off against the Oakland A's. Bob Blackburn walks up a plank for the A's, and Jake Irvin is on the bump for Washington. Washington is an underdog. You're going to be getting them anywhere between plus 110 to a plus 116, and between minus 125 to a minus 135 is the number on Oakland. 8 is the total. Under is between minus 110 to a minus 120. The over is between even and minus 110. And if you're looking to lay a run and a half with the Oakland A's, you're getting a plus 165. And the A's are 8-2 on the run line in their last 10 games. I'm going to play conservative. I'm just going to stick with the money line. And I set the A's at a minus 134 on the money line. Like, as outrageous as it sounds, they are playing much better baseball right now than the Washington Nationals. And while the Nationals did pick up a few pieces in the offseason, they've now got Joey Gallo, who's able to give them a little bit of power. You pick up someone like a Eddie Rosario. It has been a rough go of it in general for this offense. A lot of the guys that returned from a season ago, they just haven't been what they were. Like, Lane Thomas gave you 20-plus home runs. He did a nice job of being able to move the line. Joey Meneses was able to hit for a relatively good average last season. Both of these guys, after all starts, love what C.J. Abrams is providing. North of the 300 average, he's been able to swipe quite a few bags as he and Lane Thomas have combined 9 stolen bases, and that's one thing that the Nationals have done very well. 25 stolen bases already this far this season, but that said, they're hitting .226 as a collective with a grand total of 11 home runs. Joey Gallo, C.J. Abrams, 3 home runs apiece, but for the Oakland A's, the team is just really executing in terms of the pitching side of things, and they play in one of the most pitcher-friendly ballparks in baseball, especially during the nighttime, where the marine layer is out. This is a friend of Paul Blackburn, and for Paul Blackburn, Blackburn. He was legitimately a little bit unlucky last season. He had a fielding independent that was honestly quite a bit better than his overall ERA. And for Paul Blackburn, he's went out there in two starts as far this season and 13 total innings. Granted, it was against the Guardians and the Detroit Tigers, and he has delivered 13 scoreless thus far. The strikeout numbers not necessarily there like they were a season ago. Last year, about 8 punch-outs per 9 innings, only 7 strikeouts in 13 innings thus far this season, but the command is great, and the Oakland A's are right now a top 6 team in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. Danny Jimenez is looking like a relatively good back end of the bullpen guy. Lucas Ursedge, after he flamed out as a position player with the Brewers, he's had a second lease on life as a nice relief piece. Even though I think that he should be a starter, you've gotten really good production on Mason Miller late in games as well. And then for the Washington Nationals, Hunter Harvey is someone that can be relatively solid for the team, but I don't trust in Kyle Finnegan whatsoever. Jordan Weems, Derek Law, these guys are okay. They're not great. They're not terrible. And for the Oakland A's, it's just about finding enough offense for this team, because they had Jay Legolares have that 3 home run game against the Texas Rangers. But that said, this is a bunch that's currently hitting at 211 as a collective. Other than Legolares, nobody else has multiple home runs. J.D. Davis had a 2 home run game a little bit earlier on in the season, but he's been cooling down a little bit as well. Why they have Esteri Ruiz right now at the minor league level, I have absolutely no idea. There's nobody on the roster other than Ruiz, who's currently hitting above a 255, and nobody else has north of a 344 on base that has provided at least 10 at-bats. So that's a little bit of an issue, and I do think that this is going to be a low-scoring slog, but they do get to go up against someone in Jake Irvin that I frankly don't have a lot of faith in. Last year had a 470 ERA with a fielding independent of about a 530, and I mean, it's been rough for him in his MLB career. 1.4 home runs, 3.9 walks allowed per 9 innings the last 2 seasons, has been rough at home, has been rough on the road. So I do like the Oakland A's to get it done in what I think is going to be a lower scoring game, much like we saw in that series against the Rangers. Set my line at a -134. I'd like the A's on the money line, and looking at this total under, set my total at 7.4, and now wrap things up for the Friday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. A big thanks to Andrew Cayley of Covers for joining me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from the Sign Podcast, the Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of 2 ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter / X timeline at TuneIn_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcasts review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like here on this podcast via the 5-star review, coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season. And that means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.